Velkommen igjen til Paradigmepodden, hvor vi møter spennende mennesker som er opptatt av nye paradigmer på mange ulike områder. Og mitt navn er Terje Toftnes. I denne episoden, nummer 77, skal vi snakke om nye paradigmer i forståelsen av vår fjernhistorie. Arkeologene forteller oss at vår kultur med jordbruk, husdyrhold og små landsbyer er bare 3 000 til 4 000 år gammel. Før det var det spyd og steinøks, og folk bodde i huler og levde av det de kunne sanke og jakte i naturen. Men stemmer dette? Det er spørsmålet flere nytenkende forskere nå stiller seg. Og en av årsakene er den økende mengden funn av forhistoriske, monumentale byggverk over hele planeten, spesielt i form av pyramider. En som har viet mye av sitt liv til å forske på dette, er den bosniske forretningsmannen og amatørarkeologen Semir Osmanagic. Gjennom de første 20 årene av sin karriere bygget han opp et lukrativt selskap i Houston, Texas, som utviklet blant annet store kransystemer for oljeindustrien. Sin etterhvert solide private formue har han parallelt med dette brukt på en annen av sine lidenskaper, nemlig studien av pyramider verden over. Og det vakte en viss oppsikt da han høsten 2005 hevdet å ha oppdaget store fjellstrukturer i sitt fødeland Bosnia som minnet mistenkelig om pyramider, godt skjult av jord og vegetasjon. I dag er dette området, som omfatter dalen og fjellene rundt den lille byen Visoko, ikke langt fra Sarajevo, blitt et av de mest spennende områder for arkeologiske utgravinger. Kan det være at det eksisterte en avansert kultur her allerede for 25 000 år siden, som dateringene kan tyde på, og som var i stand til å bygge pyramider som gjør Keops-pyramiden i Egypt liten til sammenligning, og som kontrollerte energi på en måte vi ennå ikke har oppdaget? Det er mange tegn som kan tyde på dette, ifølge de som nå graver der og studerer funnene. Men selvfølgelig, her stritter det etablerte arkeologimiljøet imot, for dette passer ikke inn i det historienarrativet som er nærmest opplest og vedtatt fra den kanten. Og det koster å legge seg ut med et av de kanskje mest konservative vitenskapsmiljøene som finnes. Så det mangler ikke på hverken advarsler eller fordømmelser fra den kanten når det gjelder dette prosjektet i Bosnia. Men likevel, bevisene taler for seg. Ragnhild og jeg besøkte Visoko tilbake i 2013, og fikk ved selvsyn oppleve både utgravningene av det som kan være 4 enorme pyramider, men også det utrolige nettverket av underjordiske tunnelsystemer som er blitt avdekket rundt og innunder disse, og hvor det er funnet gjenstander og inskripsjoner fra tusener av år tilbake. Noe av det mest utrolige var luften inne i disse trange gangene som strekker seg flere kilometer inn i bakken. Jo dypere du kom inn, jo bedre var luften. Dette skyldes visstnok en svært høy grad av ionifisering av lufta, skapt av sinnrike vannkanaler som var anlagt sammen med tunnelsystemene. Og de konsentrerte magnetfeltene som skjøt ut fra toppen av den største pyramiden. Hva med dem? Hvem hadde kunnskapen, teknologien og redskapene til å bygge dette for 20-30 000 år siden? Og hvorfor gjorde de det? Vel, vi fikk Semir i tale på tomannshånd, og her er hva han fortalte.
My name is Dr. Semir Osmanagic. I am anthropology professor. My PhD is in Mayan studies, so I have spent considerable amount of time in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Belize. Also, I'm the author of 12 books that are published on 3 continents, in which I talk about my experience with the ancient civilizations in South America, Meso, North America, Asia, Europe, Africa. So for the last 25 to almost 30 years, I have been researching the ancient civilizations and the pyramids in particular. I have found out that the pyramids were a worldwide phenomena, not what they've been teaching us, that they are focused only on Egypt and Mexico. And also that they are much, much older than what they've been telling us in schools. And I've discovered that those structures would all have common elements, the geometry, the the orientation to the north. And then I realized that the communication between the continents existed much before than what we are taught in schools. They are telling us that the pyramids were built in Egypt and Mexico. For Egyptians, they are saying they are tombs for the pharaohs. However, when you go to Egypt, you realize that you have two different styles. The oldest pyramids, the original pyramids, are much more superior and the bigger, built from excellent quality materials, from granite and the limestone. And then you have the smaller ones that belong to certain pharaonic dynasties, like the 12th or 18th, built from the mud brick. Of course, the older pyramids are so superior, with so much knowledge incorporated, that we know that pharaonic Egypt did not possess that knowledge, so they were built much before. You go to the Mayan world, and then you are faced with 100,000 pyramids, and 99% of them are still covered by layers of soil and vegetation. But with what you can see in Guatemala, in western Honduras, Mexican sites, are the pyramids so advanced that what they say for the Mayas in encyclopedia, that they were Neolithic cultures, that they had only the stone tools, is simply not right. They were much more advanced. Then in Bolivia, the pyramids 4,000 meters above the sea level, Acapena complex, had the pyramids made from granite, so perfectly shaped that some kind of machines and laser technology was used to shape those blocks. In Peru, 300 pyramids, not a word about them in the history books. The pyramids are on Canary Islands in the Atlantic Ocean. The pyramids are in the middle of the Indian Ocean on Mauritius. Again, the governments of those countries, Canary Island or Spain and Mauritius, are denying that they have those structures, even though everybody can see them. Beautiful stepstone pyramids with the four sides, with the same heights of the steps, with the perfect orientation to the summer solstice. They don't want to change the history. And finally, 250 pyramids in the central Chinese province of Shanxi. Even though the Chinese government wanted to hide them from the outside world for the longest time, 1970s, 80s and 90s. Today you can go there and see them, and they started slowly to investigate the smaller ones. But the bigger ones, the original ones, are built from granite and sandstone. And again, they're taking us back 12,000 plus years. The southern Europe was a place for the pyramid building also. The southern France, the ancient Greek territory, five sites in Italy, and finally in Bosnia. So, traveling all around the world, researching those pyramids, I realized that there is not much said in the history books about them. And then it was the worldwide phenomena, and then most of them are 12,000 plus years old. So, there was a need to write the history books again.
But I mean, even though you are one of the frontier researchers in this field, there are also a lot of other researchers. And my question is, why isn't this more known to the public? Why this resistance against this knowledge about what has been going on so many years back?
The mainstream scientists try to keep the knowledge about the pyramids very limited. You can see that the Egyptian pyramids are explored only by Egyptologists. You don't have other scientists like experts for the energy. Very limited satellite screening, almost no geophysical analysis, because some tries from 1960s and 1970s, when they showed that the pyramids, like Khafre pyramids, change their energy status every 10 minutes. Those Japanese scientists were expelled from the countries because Egyptians told them, hey, we don't want to know about the energy properties. All we need to know is if the mummy is there or not. Of course, there are no mummies in the Cheops pyramid, in Khafre, in Mycerin, in Sneferu, in Djoser, and they will never be found. Because simply those pyramids were never used as a place, as a tomb for the pharaohs. The pharaohs were buried about 300 kilometers to the south in the Valley of Kings. But Egyptologists, the mainstream history scientists, and Hollywood are creating this image that the pyramids were tombs for the pharaohs. You don't build such a colossal structure for one dead body. You build them to have something that will be of use for the living generations. The Mayan civilization built 100,000 of them, and we don't know their use. The same thing in Peru or China or Bolivia or Bosnia, other places. And people who try to investigate them as the independent researchers, like Graham Hancock or Robert Boal and the others, you know, they got a lot of obstacles. So even though some of them have their best-selling books out there, it simply is not enough because the mainstream media do not accept that. They go along with the mainstream science because the mainstream science and the elites, they are basically one. They have everything. They have the power, they have media, they have corporations, they have money. So they don't give them money for the research of this phenomena to get to the bottom of it, to get the real truth.
But I have learned from school that science is, it's science's greatest incentive is to explore the unknown. So, but why doesn't science work that way?
When you face the people who have leading positions, the presidents of the National Academy of Sciences, rectors of the universities, deans of faculties, directors of archaeological institutes, and so on, you realize that in most cases they are the people who think that the science stops with them. They think they know, that they possess the knowledge, and then they become the obstacle for the scientific progress. We have to stay open all our life. And only if we are open and ready for new, sometimes sensational discoveries, there is a hope for the planet and humanity.
What is your personal opinion when it comes to the Egyptian pyramids? When were they built and for what purpose?
In the most superior Egyptian pyramids, we can see a lot of knowledge incorporated. For example, number pi, 3.14, which you get when you add two lengths of the sides divided by the height, 147. You can see the same way the number phi, the golden ratio. You can see the distance between our planet and the sun. You can see the distance between our planet and the moon. You can see the number 299,000, which is the speed of light. The ancient Egyptians simply did not have this knowledge to incorporate in the pyramid. All they had was a primitive, soft copper tools and wooden sticks. You don't shape the hardest material in the nature, the granite. You don't move it without technology from Aswan, 900 kilometers to the north, to the Giza Plateau. It had to be much more developed civilization than the Egyptian pharaohs. Now, when they tried to make replica of already existing pyramids, thousands of years later, all they had was the mud brick, which is even used today. And they did not have the knowledge, those pyramids are long gone. But the oldest one, the most superior, are still there. So, the obvious conclusion is, those pyramids were built much before Egyptian society that we know of, so it is 12,000 plus years. You go to the Giza Plateau, you can see so many shells. Those shells were brought by the sea. When was the last time when the Mediterranean flooded inland 300 kilometers? Well, 12,500 years ago. And the pyramids were already there because we are finding salt and the shells inside the pyramid. So we have more and more proof that the picture of the ancient civilizations looked totally differently. They are telling us in schools 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years ago, the humanity started. Before that was a primitive caveman. Wrong. We simply live in the last cycle of humanity, which did start with the Sumer 7,000 years ago, Babylon, Akkad, Assyria, ancient Egypt, ancient India. But this is just the last cycle of humanity. Before this one, we had another one, which ended over 12,000 years ago in a global catastrophe. And we know it as the Great Flood. And before that one was another one, 18,000 years ago. Before that one was another one, 55,000 and 75,000 years ago. And every time a huge cataclysmic event would happen, humanity would be wiped out, 99% of them. And then they would need to start from the beginning. And then they would think that they were the first one. That's what we think today. We think that last 7,000-8,000 years is everything, and then today in 21st century, we are the most technologically advanced, the most intelligent, the most beautiful. Well, we are wrong.
So in your opinion, there will be new discoveries confirming this in the future in many ways. Is that right?
In the future, we will witness so many new discoveries on the face of the planet, either in the Amazon jungles, the bottom of Pacific, Atlantic, or Caribbean floors. So many secrets to discover. When it comes to pyramids, we do know that there are hundreds of them that will be discovered. Bottom of Caribbean, off the coast of Cuba, Australia, near Brisbane, in Amazon, in that dense jungle, a lot of pyramids. And then we will realize that people in the past knew something about this shape of the pyramid that we don't know today. A new science called biogeometry tried to figure out what is the most powerful energy shape. Among three of them, the first one is the shape of the pyramid, the second one, conical shape, the third one, spherical shape. And guess what? Thousands and tens of thousands of years in the past, these were three dominant shapes. The ancients knew how to manipulate with the energies, how to use the energy of our planet, solar energy, magnetic energies, energy that was produced by the underground water streams, and how to get the benefits from the energy. Even today, we fight for the energy. Light, camera, cars, it was always about the energy. Just today, what we do, we have dirty industries from the coal, we have limited sources, oil and gas, we have, you know, wires all over the place. In the past, they had clean energy with the pyramid energy. They had non-Hertzian phenomena, which is basically getting more and more energy from one source. They had the wireless technology. So we realized that there are different ways to solve the problem with the energy. That's why it's so important to go back in the past and learn from those civilizations.
So let's move over to the Bosnian pyramids. And could you just explain to us in short terms how you discovered these pyramids?
In April of 2005, I first came to the little central Bosnian town of Visoko, which is approximately 30 kilometers northwest from the capital city of Sarajevo. The reason for my visit were not pyramids, but I was supposed to visit a local museum. However, when I came to Visoko, I saw the hill towering the town, and the hill was perfect geometry of a pyramid. Four sides, triangular faces, the same slope from the bottom to the top, obvious corners. I took compass and compass showed me that the sides of the pyramids match the cardinal points, east, west, north and south. Based on my previous experience from China to Mexico, Guatemala, Salvador, I knew that even though the pyramid was covered by solid vegetation, that we had to have a huge artificial structure below the layers of soil. In the year 2005, it was a one-man project. I was paying for the geological core drilling, archaeological trenches, analysis, geological reports. By October 2005, I published my first book about the discovery of the Bosnian pyramids, in which I claimed that besides several pyramids, we were going to discover underground labyrinth, which would consist of the tunnels and chambers. And in a very short period of time, over 12,000 emails I received from all over the world, people giving me support and some of them offering help when it comes to the scientific research. Then I realized it is not one-man show anymore. So I established a non-profit foundation called the Archaeological Park Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation. And very soon it had become the most active archaeological and scientific site in the world. Every year, we attract hundreds and hundreds of volunteers and dozens of experts from different scientific fields. In the last 7 years, we have spent 340,000 hours on archaeological digging, lab analysis, sample testing, radiocarbon dating, and we've concluded that in the heart of Bosnia, there are five pyramids, which we named the pyramids of the sun, moon, dragon, earth, and love, with a huge network of tunnels, and the whole complex we named the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids. We've had so many exciting discoveries. The first 5 years, we focused on proving that we have construction complex. And indeed, if you have a hill in the shape of the pyramid, with perfect side orientations, you remove the soil, you find rectangular blocks. You analyze them in six Institutes for Materials, and all of them confirmed that it is man-made concrete. You find inner passageways through the georadar screening. You find, you discover underground tunnels and chambers. Obviously, it was a built complex. So after 5 years, we decided to move on. We don't intend to spend another 100 years trying to convince every skeptic that we have pyramids in Bosnia. Now, the next move was to get to the purpose of pyramids. Mm-hmm. So,
but when you're speaking of the skeptics, the internet is full of claims that this is only a big hoax. It's natural formations and so on and so on, and you are fooling everybody. What do you have to say to that?
This project has become so big, and when you come with the big and new and progressive ideas, there are so many people who fear for their position. Now imagine, till now they were saying no pyramids in Europe. They were wrong. So the history books will have to be changed. They were saying the biggest pyramids are in Egypt. Well, the Bosnian pyramids are much bigger. So the PhDs, professorships, the way they teach our kids was wrong. So the change is simply too big, from little Sarajevo to Zagreb to Paris to London to Boston to New York. So it was much easier for the mainstream scientists, for dogmatic scientists, to step this little foundation and one little man than to change all that. And of course they have their tools, Wikipedia or the mainstream media. Or you have a lot of bloggers, you know, they are all, of course, people who you don't know who they are. And they've been trying with the constant pressure to stop the project, to fool other people. But then, you know, we had to fight on several levels, on local level, on regional, on global level. On global level, I think the fight is probably the most important, because people need to realize, hey, this pyramid phenomenon is so important, it changes the way we view our ancient history. They've been teaching us wrong in schools. There is much more. There is many more cycles in humanity. So it's a huge change. So the whole scientific paradigm has to be changed. Mm-hmm. So this Bosnian pyramid discovery is much more important than a little local discovery with a limited influence. Mm-hmm. It's a huge global influence when it comes to the science, but also to the economy and the politics. That's why there are so many, you know, different information on the internet. Personally, we don't care. People attack us, they try to insult us. We don't care about that. They give their opinions, or it is impossible, it's natural, I think this is this, I think it's... It doesn't matter. The opinions are irrelevant in science. The only thing that counts in science is the scientific argument, the lab analysis, the testing, the dating. You know, if you can measure the orientation of the north side of the Sun Pyramid in Bosnia, and then you conclude that it is much more precise than the northern side of the Cheops Pyramid, which, by the way, had an error of 0 degrees and 2 minutes. And Bosnian pyramids has an error of 0 degrees, 0 minutes, and 12 seconds. It is measured by the State Institute for Geodesy. There is nothing to believe or not to believe there. If you find the rectangular blocks, nicely shaped on all six sides, you analyze them in the institutes that deal with the materials, universities in Sarajevo, in Tuzla, in Zenica, Institute for Geopolymer in France, Politecnico di Torino, and everybody says this is a man-made concrete. You know, the binding agent was clay, which they heated up. So they describe you the technological process. I mean, there is nothing to discuss there, whether you believe they are natural or artificial. It is proven that they are artificially put together. Mm-hmm. If you find the tunnels under the pyramids, obviously it's a carefully executed plan how to build the complex. Of course, people who has never been in Bosnia, in Visoko, they can say and write whatever they want. But the hard scientific facts will tell them otherwise. So, to conclude, we don't waste too much time arguing with them. We simply bring more and more scientific arguments and we move on. Mm-hmm.
But what about specialists from the Egyptian scientific environment who have been doing research on their own pyramids for years? Have they visited and what have their opinions been?
Egyptology has been around for 200 years. And unfortunately, I have to say they are still back to square one, because Egyptology as a science was simply not enough to explain the purpose of the pyramids or even who and when built those. They are saying the 3rd, 4th and 5th dynasty rulers. Wrong. You don't have mummies, you don't have organic materials, you don't have hieroglyphic writings, you don't have symbols, you don't have paintings, you don't have tools, you don't have one scientific argument to prove that they were built by the pharaohs in the pharaonic times. However, their knowledge, as a part of the knowledge, is important. In 2006, we have invited, through the Egyptian government, several of their scientists. The first one to come was Dr. Ali Barakat, very experienced geologist who's been working on an archaeological project in Egypt for a very long time, 4 decades. He spent 42 days in Bosnia, and in his written report, he concluded that the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun was the man-made pyramid. The second one to come was Mohamed Ibrahim Ali, professor from the Ain Shams University, the guy who replaced Dr. Zahi Hawass. When he saw the pyramids in Bosnia, he was so impressed. He said, this is some kind of temples or pyramid or something third, but this is obviously man-made construction, and you need to explore and investigate and figure out who built this. Then Lami al-Hadidi, obviously, another Egyptian archaeologist, found more proofs. However, when those people went back to Egypt, the guy who was running the Supreme Council of Antiquities, Dr. Zahi Hawass, was so much against this project because he realized that it is going to affect their tourism. Mm-hmm. Every year, 8 million people come to visit Egyptian pyramids and they leave $15.5 billion to Egyptian economy. Now imagine a certain percentage of tourists instead to Egypt comes to Bosnia. And most of the Egyptian tourists are from Europe. Bosnia is in Europe, so obviously it's much easier to fly, let's say, from Oslo to Bosnia, 2 hours flight, direct flight, Oslo-Sarajevo, then to go to Egypt, and much cheaper. Because of that fear, Dr. Zahi Hawass was so much against this project, and most of the people around him agreed with him, so they were saying there are no pyramids in Bosnia. But that's not the scientific view. Scientific view is to go there, take the samples, do the analysis, and come up with a, you know, scientific articles. Mm-hmm. There are some other people who are pro or, you know, against the project. But then again, the only way to do it in the science is to go to the site, do scientific, you know, methodology, apply it, and get the results. So far, besides the people who are simply giving their opinions that there are no pyramids, we don't have tests disproving our proofs. Mm-hmm. So I would say that in the long run, scientifically, we are so much right. And then I could see in 2005 and 6 and 7, we had so many more skeptics and people against us. Now, there are not so many. Because if Egyptians confirm that you have the pyramids, if Russian geophysicists like Professor Kavroshkin and Professor Siplakov do their analysis, they say you have artificial structures. If some of the American, Italian, French and other archaeologists and experts do their analysis, obviously you have won in the scientific field. Unfortunately, as far as the power, it's still on the other end. So they use that power, they take advantage of that.
How has this project been welcomed by the Bosnian authorities?
This project is very popular among the Bosnian public. Tens of thousands of tourists from Bosnia came to Visoko, and they know that there is something big and very good for the country. Based on that, a lot of Bosnian politicians were visiting the site, giving us support. And verbally, you know, we got support on all levels. Municipality, they even give us the money. The regional government, they give us permits. And in the beginning, they were giving us money also. Federal and the state level, you know, you can see different interests. Bosnia is a very complicated country. So many different nationalities, religions, parties. So, you know, people view, okay, if Visoko is going to be rich, I'm going to lose on my end, so I'm going to be against that. Unfortunately, that's the politics and the interests. But formerly, we had the Bosnian federal government, our topic on one of their agendas, and they basically said, we do support the foundation and this research. And this 2012, for the first time, we got some money from Federal Ministry for Tourism. So things are going in the right direction. But still, the majority of the obstacles are coming from the cultural establishment, mostly professors of archaeology, history, geology, because for some reason, they feel that they are threatened by this project. But then again, you know, they've been attacking us. We never responded in the same manner. We would simply invite them to come, to join, or to see what we have, and we would move on.
Mm-hmm. But the way that you do your excavations and the way that you explore this whole project is not very common. I'm thinking of the way you organize with all the volunteers. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
The Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids is a huge archaeological site with the five big pyramids with the underground tunnels going for tens of kilometers. And the regular archaeological project, you have one archaeologist, 10 diggers, working 15 or 30 days a season, and that's it. Obviously, with such approach, we would go nowhere. So we had to find a creative way how to attract a lot of people. When you don't have enough funds, and being in Bosnia, which is today the poorest country in Europe, and the culture is the last hole they want to take care of, you have to find a way how to attract people, the volunteers from all over the world, to give them the opportunity to become a part of something big, to become a very active part of history-changing process. So we decided to have those volunteers to have the archaeological training the first day, and they work under the expert supervision of our full-time archaeologists, geologists, geophysicists, and other experts. So it's a really unique experience for them and for us. But thanks to their help, we are able to start removing the huge quantities of soil and vegetation. Of course, for removing dirt, you don't need professional archaeologists. Simply, you need diggers, people who can help you with that. The second thing, in the tunnels, we can see traces of two civilizations. The first one who built the tunnels, the second one who, for some reason, filled in all those tunnels with a lot of materials like pebbles and rocks and sand. So we need a lot of help inside the tunnels to remove that fill-in material. And then again, the volunteers can help us a lot. So we concluded that really the volunteers can do a lot of work. But then we have to have our archaeologists checking for the artifacts, checking for organic material, important stuff. So that's why they are all the time there. In the year 2012, we were busy on six different archaeological sites. The pyramids of the sun and the moon and dragon and earth and the love, and in the tunnels. So obviously, you cannot cover all these locations with one archaeologist and 10 diggers. You have to have many more people. And a lot of people are asking us, why don't you go much quicker? Well, archaeology is very slow. So you need to make sure that, you know, you checked, you know, every cubic, you know, foot of the material for some artifacts, for some important things. You cannot just bring a bulldozer and, you know, move all this earth. So we had to find a compromise. How quick can we go? How many people can we have? And I think we have a happy compromise at this time, because every summer we have more and more discoveries. I know some people are saying, well, they are not using scientific methods, they don't know what they're doing. This guy Osmanagic, you know, he has no knowledge. But guess what? Not only that, for example, myself have all the titles, professorships and doctorate and being a member of very distinguished Russian Academy of Natural Sciences with dozens of Nobel Prize winners. But the experience is what it matters. I mean, I've seen all the pyramids on the planet. How many people knows all the pyramids? You have Egyptologists, they know Egyptian pyramids. You have people who know Peruvian or Mexican. But you don't have people who knows all of them on the planet, who can realize that the common features are there, and who can, you know, focus attention not only on one science, archaeology or Egyptology, but who can enable experts from different fields to come. So this has become a truly interdisciplinary scientific projects. Mm. You have classical sciences, archaeology, geology, paleontology, geodesy, and so on, combining with the very advanced satellite screening, thermal analysis, georadar analysis, radiocarbon datings, plus lately we have energy experts, electrical engineers, the physicists, and so on. You don't find such an archaeological project anywhere in the world.
Ah, that's amazing. The dirt that you are uncovering, I mean, how deep is it? How much dirt has been able to cover these? And can you, from the dirt, the thickness of the dirt, say something about the age? And are there other methods of telling the age of the formations and the constructions?
When people think about the pyramids, they think about the Egyptian pyramids. They see them in a desert. They can see stone blocks one on top of each other. However, most of the pyramids in the world are covered by soil and vegetation. 250 of them in China, tens of thousands of them in Mesoamerica. The same case in Bosnia. Usually, the layer of dirt is about 1 meter. In the case of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, close to the top, it is about 40 centimeters. You go to the bottom, due to the erosion, you have 1.5 meters. So the average is 1 meter. So we remove that. It's a slow process. It takes time to remove a lot of dirt there. Now, when it comes to the age of the pyramid, we were thinking, if we can figure out the age of the soil that has been covering the pyramid, then we can get to the minimum age of the structure itself. The science that investigate the origin and the age of the soil is called pedology. In Bosnia, the guy who established the National Institute for Pedology, Professor Resulovic, came with his team, took samples from the Sun and the Moon pyramid, and then in his written scientific report, he concluded that the age of the soil is between 12 and 15,000 years, meaning that the structure, the pyramid, is even older. And then finally, in June of 2012, during our first shift of our international summer camp for volunteers, the Italian archaeologist Niccolo Bisconti and Dr. Riccardo Brett found a piece of organic material below the layers of soil and on the top of the concrete blocks. That organic material was fossilized leaf. So, since it is on the top of the concrete blocks, obviously the structure was already there. The wind probably brought that leaf on the top of the block. We have sent the organic material to 2 different labs for the radiocarbon analysis. We got results from the first one in, from Kiev, Ukraine. And their conclusion is that this material is 24,800 years old, plus minus 200 years. So now we are going back 25,000 years. Officially, Egyptian pyramids, 4,500. Officially, Mexican, Chinese, Peruvian, 2,000 to 3,000. Bosnians are going tens of thousands of years in the past. Everything we touch in Bosnia changes our view of the ancient history forever. Seven elements. Number one, the first pyramids in Europe. Number two, the biggest on the planet. Number three, the most precise orientation of the sides to the north on the planet. Number four, the best quality concrete that covers the Pyramid of the Sun. Number five, the oldest pyramid. Number six, the most extensive underground tunnel network. And number seven, in those tunnels, we are finding the biggest ceramic blocks so far, up to 8 tons. With those seven elements, the human history will never look the same.
Incredible. How far have you gotten inside the pyramid? I mean, are there things that you believe you will discover inside? And what are your thoughts about that?
The Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is a huge structure. When it comes to volume, it is 3 times bigger than the Great Pyramid of Egypt. According to GeoRadar specialist from Austria, Germany, Russia, and Serbia, we have a network of inner passageways, the tunnels, and the chambers. It seems that according to one review, we have 7 levels with those tunnels at different depths. So it's probably the most elaborate pyramid ever. So far, we have not entered the tunnels from the surface. However, we are coming with those underground tunnels very close to the pyramid, so eventually we are going to enter it from the underground, from the under the pyramid. What we are going to find, we will see. But when we see that those tunnels that are tens of kilometers in length, that after first few hundred meters that we are discovering the first chambers, and so far we have discovered 6 chambers, obviously, we are to discover the most important things in the future. You know, the entrance to the tunnel is 2.5 kilometers from the pyramid. After 230 meters, we discover chambers which has 50 square meters, 4 meters in height, and 8 side tunnels. We discover some more. So I would say once we got under the pyramid, probably we're going to have a huge holes. Hundreds of square meters, maybe thousands. In the first few hundred meters, we have discovered several little lakes. And those lakes are actually artificial water accumulations. So I believe once we get to the pyramid, we're going to discover a much bigger lakes. We are faced with a civilization who was able to manipulate with the huge quantities of construction material. They were able to move millions of tons of materials. So they were much more advanced than we are. And we know that due to our recent research of the energy phenomena. Namely, we asked the teams of the physicists and electrical engineers from several countries to come and help us. The first one to come was the team from Zagreb, Croatia, led by Dr. Slobodan Mizrak, the physicist. And with their instruments, they discovered that on the very top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, there is a 4.5 meter radius with the energy beam. That's the electromagnetic field of 28 kilohertz frequency, which is continuous. In Mother Nature, you don't find things like that seldomly. You have to have a mechanism, an energy machine, to generate the same frequency over and over again. We also found out that on the top we have the ultrasound beam of 10 meters radius also coming through the pyramids. So once you start finding those energy phenomena, you realize that somebody built not only a construction using a natural construction materials like clay, like conglomerate, sandstone blocks, but they constructed a machine. So they were able to manipulate with the natural sources of energies. According to some results, we know that there is a huge iron plate below the pyramid. You have underground tunnel of network that are filled with the negative ions. You have underground waters. When they move, they release the energy. And finally, you have a magnetic field around our planet. The pyramid sucks all those types of the energies. The pyramid does not generate energy from nothing, but it amplifies the energies. Our Russian colleagues, Professor Kavroshkin and Siplakov, we went together to Egypt and Bosnia. We measured the strength of the signal on the top of the pyramid and on the bottom, and we concluded that on the top, the strength of the signal is up to 500 times stronger. That's why the shape of the pyramid is so important. So the pyramid is getting all these different types of natural sources of energy, amplifying so many times, and then you have some type of the energy machines. And then you can use that energy beams, ultrasound beams, and probably more other types of energy which we are not able to detect at this time. We can use it any way we want. And now we are aware that those pyramids were built by more advanced civilization.
So the fact that that there is an energy beam arising from the top of the pyramid, you say that it is an energy machine. It sounds very logical. But still, for what purpose did they build this energy machine? Was it to supply their own needs for energy on the planet? Or was it, when it points up right into the sky, what are your thoughts about that?
Everything we do in our life has to have a purpose. And for everything we do, we need an energy. The ancients had a much better way than we do. They would build energy machines, the pyramids, using natural material. They would be harvesting the natural sources of materials also and energies. They were getting the energy. How to use it? What we measured so far was that this energy beam, the electromagnetic field that is going through the center of the pyramid, going up, that the signal is getting stronger and stronger as it moves away from the pyramid. Now, according to our science and our technology, which we can name Hertzian technology, closer to the source, the stronger the energy. You move away from the source, the signal is getting weaker. That's our technology, it's logical. But in our case, in Bosnia, since in our country everything is upside down, the pyramid works differently. You move away from the pyramid, the signal is getting stronger. Theoretically, what it can mean, if the pyramid is the source of the energy, then with that stronger and stronger signal, you can reach any planet in our solar system, or even any planet in some other star systems. If that's possible, if you can establish the energy bridge between two planets, then, theoretically speaking, you could move the radio waves, you could move information, you could move frequencies. And then this energy beam, if we are to speculate, can become a communication means. So that's one. The second one, when we think about ourselves, the human bodies, we know since Einstein that everything is energy in the nature, our planet, our bodies, trees, and so on. And everything vibrates differently. Our vibration is different than our planet or the stone. So theoretically, if this energy beam, this energy bridge, can move different frequencies, there is a technical way to move even our bodies through it. So in that case, we have a base for what we know as teleportation. So now the pyramids are becoming the mean of the transportation also. The third way to use the pyramid beam, you know, nowadays in Beijing or Moscow, when they have stormy weather, what they do, they just send the projectiles and they, you know, dissipate those stormy clouds. The pyramid beam can use the same way. The fourth different option, you know, you can use it for heating. The fifth one, for the healing. It's like laser beam. Laser beam you can use to help with your eyesight. But then the sixth way, the same analogy with the laser. Laser can be used also by the military, for the military purposes. So you can, you know, abuse it. The same thing with the energy beam. So really, our imagination is our only limit. How to use those energy beams. If they come in huge quantities, if they are continuous, like in case of Bosnia, you can use them in so many different ways.
You mentioned healing, and I've also heard that people have had experiences with being healed when inside the pyramid.
Let me think about the purpose of pyramids and underground tunnels. Of course, the pyramids now with this energy beam, obviously they are giving us energy we need for daily life. But then when we think about ourselves as the individuals, what is the most important thing in our life as we are getting older with more grace? It is to save our health and prolong our life. We have noticed and we have heard so many testimonies of people being in underground labyrinth in Bosnia that the problems they had, for example, with asthma, they would simply be gone. They would start breathing again. They would not need those pumps. Then people with some type of allergies, those allergies would be immediately gone. Or some smaller problems with the headaches, with the backaches and so on. Since we try to prove everything in scientific way, we wanted to see what's really happening in the tunnels. We measured the concentration of negative ions. Negative ions, as you know, clean our blood and our body from viruses and bacteria. In this room today, the concentration of negative ions is probably 200 negative ions per cubic centimeter, which is rather low. But in the tunnels, in that chamber which is 230 meters inside, the concentration is 43,000 negative ions per cubic centimeter, 200 times more and 200 times healthier. So it seems that somebody was building the underground healing facility. When you add to this fact that in the underground tunnels there are no negative cosmic radiations, and our body cells have to fight those cosmic radiations when we are on the surface of the planet, that the values for Hartmann grids, especially intersections, very harmful for our body. Those values in the tunnels are equal zero. Then there is no natural radioactivity, which is also negative for our bodies. According to the measurements we've done, the values are 10 times lower than the minimum allowed. And finally, the negative energy coming from the underground water streams is not negative. With the series of those ceramic blocks, they would neutralize the negative, transform it to the positive energy. Then we realize that the whole network of tunnels underground is the most secured place on the planet. So without all these negative radiations, our body cells don't have enemies from the outside anymore, and they start doing their job. And their job is to fix the problems in our bodies. The moment you enter the tunnels, it is like a trigger. The body cells start process of regeneration. And I think that with this, we really discover the true purpose of Bosnian Pyramid Complex. The pyramids were used to get us a continuous supply of huge quantities of energies and underground tunnels because of the healing aspect. Yeah.
It's incredible. So, to sum this up, where do you go from here? What's going to happen now the next years?
It's been 7 years, very exciting years. But that's just the beginning. We have 200 years of Egyptology, and they have so many more answers to get. In our case, the biggest discoveries are in front of us. But this project is much more than archaeology or the science in general. This project is about changing the paradigm, getting so many young people and those young at their heart to Bosnia. They are becoming a very important, a vital part of this project. They are disseminated the new knowledge, the information. We want the change on the global level, and this project is helping with that change. Wherever I go, I promote the project and I invite people to come as volunteers, as tourists, as researchers. This project is the first one who is not limited to the physical scientific instruments only and our physical senses. We've said that this project, in order to explain the pyramids, have to view them through three different realms: physical, energy, and spiritual. That's why the doors are open for everyone, and everyone is welcomed.
So when we rewrite our history, let's say 100 years from now, what's it going to say about what happened in the beginning of this century?
Well, I think that people will realize that in the 21st century, we finally started finding the purpose of all these monuments, and those monuments will be rapidly discovered or rediscovered on all continents, on the bottom of Pacifica, Atlantic Ocean, Caribbeans, in the jungles of Amazon, but all other places. And then people will realize that more advanced civilizations lived in the past. We could learn so much from them. One of the major things was that those people in the past, they would live in harmony with Mother Nature. And that's maybe the major things we can learn. Instead of us behaving as the conqueror of this planet, we need to go back and realize that our planet is our mother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ja, stor takk til Semiros Managers, eller bare Sam, som han også kalles. Det et formidabelt arbeid som han har stått i bresjen for, og sannsynligvis bare vært muliggjort på grunn av hans private innsats og hans private formue. Hvem hadde ellers hatt råd og initiativ til å sette i gang dette enorme prosjektet, som etter hvert har blitt en særdeles kjærkommen turistattraksjon og ikke minst inntektskilde også for de lokale i området. Så bosniske myndigheter, som i utgangspunktet var skeptisk, har også etter hvert stilt flere millioner euro til rådighet for å støtte utgravingene. Og dessuten har også profesjonelle arkeologer fattet interesse for prosjektet, og mange deltar nå side om side med frivillige for å grave frem det som kan synes å være de største pyramidene på planeten. Selv om mye motstand fremdeles til stede, nettopp fordi dette utfordrer de nærmest vedtatte tidslinjer i arkeologimiljøene og historiebøkene, så kan det synes at de bosniske pyramider med på å skape et solid paradigmeskifte i forståelsen av menneskeslektens fjernhistorie. Spennende det i hvert fall. Vel, jeg vil bare til slutt avslutte med igjen å minne om vårt VIPS-nummer, som 524005, 524005 for de som vil støtte oss videre i arbeidet med denne podcasten. Og da det bare å si velkommen tilbake til neste episode av Paradigmepodden.